Sir, the recording has begun. You may begin.
Thank you very much. Okay, I want to welcome everybody. I have been very, very impressed by the quick response since the decision was just made less than 7 days ago to kick this thing off. And I think we have, 13 or so members that are on the group. So I thank you for the quick response. I welcome you to the group. And before we actually start the agenda, other than the welcome, I'd like everybody to just, like I said, take about 15 seconds and just to introduce yourself, what company you're with, what constituency you're with, and hopefully we'll get a chance to know each other a lot better than that over the next few weeks. So, since I'm going to follow the order of this list I have in front of me, Alistair, could you start it off?
Sure. Alistair Dixon from the business constituency, and I'm my company's Telstra Clear.
Thank you. And for the sake of those who don't know, tell where you're located as well.
Oh, country? I'm located in Wellington, New Zealand.
Thanks, Alistair. Neil, you go next, please.
Yes. Neil Blair, and I'm a member of business constituency, and my company is Capital Strategies, and our main office is in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Thank you, Neil. Marilyn.
Sure. My name's Marilyn Cade. I'm a member of the business constituency. I have a consulting company that focuses, and I primarily advise and represent AT&T, where I was employed for 27 years, continuing actually to do much of what I did for AT&T there on internet governance, internet policy issues. I also advise Overstock.com on their interactions with ICANN and have a couple of other very small client relationships as well.
Thank you. Aubrey.
Where's Marilyn located?
Oh, thank you.
Worldwide. I physically am in the United States.
And you have a garden in Washington, D.C., right?
I have a garden and two cats in Falls Church, Virginia.
Falls Church. I'm sorry. I missed that. Okay. All right. Aubrey.
Hi. I'm Aubrey Doria. I'm a NOMCOM appointee to the council. By profession, I guess I call myself an itinerant researcher, splitting my time between a university in Sweden and the U.S. I also do consulting for the Secretariat of the Internet Governance Forum. And the university is Luleå University of Technology in northern Sweden.
Thank you, Aubrey. Dan, are you on?
I am.
Good. Welcome.
Thank you. Dan Doherty, the IP constituency, and recently joined, and I am with Yahoo, and I'm located in San Francisco.
Thank you. Greg.
Hi, this is Greg Shatton. I am with Reed Smith in New York, and a member of the Internet Committee of International Trademark Association, and I'm joining this on behalf of the IP constituency.
Thank you, Greg. And Tamara indicated that she would not be able to join us today, so Tamara Resnick, also from the IPC and with Expedia.
And she's in Seattle, Washington.
Oh, she's in Seattle, not Bellevue? Or
oh, actually, I guess she is in Bellevue.
Bellevue,
so one big happy
right there.
Brawl.
I'm being picky, I guess. John. John Nevitt. He was there a little bit ago. Maybe he's on mute.
Hey, this is John Nevitt from the Registrar's constituency. I'm with Work Solutions, and I'm located in, I have an office in Virginia, D.C., and live in Maryland. So I guess the metropolitan Washington area.
And you're with the Registrar's constituency. In fact, he's the chair of the Registrar's constituency.
Yep.
Seth, are you on?
I'm on. Seth Jacoby, Vendari NetBlue with the Registrar's constituency. Based in New York City, with our headquarters in Mountain View.
Thank you. Tim.
Tim Ruiz with GoDaddy, The registrar's constituency based in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, myself, although GoDaddy's based in Scottsdale, Arizona.
And he wishes that they wouldn't make him be in Scottsdale so often. Carolyn, are you on?
Yes, I am, indeed. Hi, I'm Caroline Greer with the registry constituency. I work for DotMobi based in Dublin, Ireland.
Thank you, Caroline. I am with VeriSign and with the registry constituency, and I work most of the time out of a home office in Sacramento, California, although I still have a small office in Virginia as well. Mike.
Yeah, I thought you forgot about me, Chuck. Mike Palage, based in Palm Beach, Florida. I have my own consulting company. I actively participate in three constituencies, the registry, the IP, and the business. However, in connection with this working group, I will be wearing primarily my registry hat on behalf of .coop.
And, Mike, you're indie, you have your own business, right?
Correct, yes.
Okay. Denise, are you on? Denise Michelle.
Yes, I'm on.
Would you introduce yourself, please?
Denise Michelle, I'm the Vice President of Policy Development, and I'm in California as we speak, but I'm based in Brussels.
Thank you, Denise. Appreciate you joining us. Liz. Is Liz on the call?
Yes, I am, Chuck. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Would you introduce yourself for those who may not know you?
Yeah, sure. Liz Williams, based in Brussels, for ICANN, Senior Policy Counselor. I'm the lead policy person on the new TLD's PDP, commonly known as PDP December 05, and on PDP December 06. I must say that I'm delighted with the variety of the people that have signed up for this little piece of work. It's fantastic. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I am too, Liz. Thanks for expressing that. And I do appreciate Liz and Denise's help on this. So hopefully everyone got the latest agenda. It wasn't too much different than what I sent out earlier in the week, but I just add a little bit of detail there. The first thing I would like to do is to review and approve the agenda.
Chuck, you're missing one more person.
Okay.
It's Patrick Jones. And
Patrick.
Yeah.
Welcome. Are you going to participate on an ongoing basis on this? It's okay if you do or don't. I'm just curious whether we should add you to our contact list.
Liz asked if I could participate in the call, and I said I'd be available. So if you need me further,
let me know if you should be added to our contact list. I'm perfectly fine with that, and there may be a time later in our work, particularly where if there are questions about some things that you are expert in, that we would certainly invite you, whether you're a regular member or not. So thanks for joining us, Patrick.
Okay.
This is Tim.
Yes, Tim.
Did I get this right then that there's two constituencies not represented, the internet service providers and the non-commercial?
That is correct. I did hear from Tony Harris from the ISPs, and he was working on it, but and possibly getting somebody, but apparently he didn't succeed. Because this is a working group, not a formal policy effort, ultimately the council will take any recommendations we make and act on them or not, of course all constituencies will be represented at that point in time. And also, if somebody's not on today, doesn't mean they can't join later.
And Chuck, I think that this statement of work, but also probably worth just reiterating again, when we go through the supports, the kind of documentation that's going to be available for people who join a little bit later, the transcripts, et cetera.
Right, and I'll get to that on the agenda. Okay. Okay, first of all, just to confirm, make some logistical information of the group. An RN-WG email list was established by Glenn and Kent at ICANN, and appreciate the quick work they did on that. Has anyone on this call not received the welcome message for the list? So everybody's on that. Excellent. And in the agenda that I sent you, you can see that the email address for the list is there and also the URL for the archive. Please be aware, as Glenn so kindly reminded me, that the list is publicly archived, so anybody can see that. So if there's something like a phone number or something that you don't want to be public, which I already violated in my own case, then you probably shouldn't put it on the list, okay? But hopefully the majority of the things we discuss will be open and transparent, and we won't have any problem with that. But I just wanted to make sure people are aware of that. Did somebody want to say something there? Did I hear somebody? Okay. The meetings will be transcribed and recorded, and a day or so after the meetings, Glenn will let us know on the list when those are available, if you want to rehear things or if you missed the meeting and need to catch up. ICANN staff support is the next thing on the agenda, and I'd like Denise to talk about that if she would.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So we'll be providing a dedicated staffing resource for this working group to ensure that fully supported and that the work, in particular, work that the working group does that relates to the PDPs in progress are done in a way that's coordinated and in the appropriate time frame so they can be fed into that process at the council level. And I'll take the decisions made on today's call if you have closure on your work group, your statement of outline and the timeline for your work, and get back to you within 2 days on how this will be set.
Okay. Now, did we allow time for Dan Doherty to introduce himself? Did I skip Dan?
No, I introduced myself.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Dr. Chuck.
Okay, what's that, Marilyn?
I think this goes without saying, and maybe it's already been said, but so the working group would have the dedicated policy support, Denise, and we will turn to Glenn for secretariat support. Is that the idea?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
And for those that aren't aware of it, Glenn has already done a bang-up job in providing support. So I have myself sincerely appreciated that. So, okay. Going on, then thank you very much, Denise. The next question I have created a little table that's got everybody's name, title, company, location, geographical location, the constituency you're associated with, your email address, and telephone numbers if I had them, and that can include an office number or a mobile number or both. Does anybody have a problem if I share that with members of the group only? In other words, I've created a little distribution list that's separate from the ICANN list, and I could send it to that so that everybody has a listing of the people on the group and would update that as the group changes over time. Does anybody not want that any of that information shared?
Chuck, it's Marilyn. I'd support sharing it, but I might just note that in the DC we actually have a disclaimer on our membership list. It might be good to put that on this document as well because just accidentally, the document gets shared with someone, so probably ought to have the footnote that says this is a private list and should not be distributed further.
Would you just email me your disclaimer, and I'll back it on there. Very good suggestion.
Yeah, we'll just get it from the secretary and have it sent to you.
Yeah, excellent. Okay. Very good. All right. So nobody has a problem with that, then that'll be an action item for me. The next item on the agenda is just, I wanted to talk a little bit and allow others, if you would like, to talk a little bit about the difference between a working group and a policy development process, a PDP. As you can tell by the title, this is a working group, not a PDP. We're not tasked with developing policy. That doesn't mean that we won't talk about some possible policies, okay? But we're not formally tasked with developing policy itself like a PDP would under the ICANN bylaws. The concept of working groups actually goes back to the original DNSO, the Domain Name Supporting Organization, before it was changed to the GNSO. And it's being used currently not only in this group but with IDNs to provide some supplemental input to ongoing PDPs. In my opinion, it's a little more flexible mechanism. It's not intended to replace a PDP if a PDP is necessary, but in the case in particular in regard to reserved names, in the December 05 PDP, which is for the introduction of new TLD, the issue of reserved names came up, especially at the top level, and with controversial strings, et cetera. And so ultimately we got to the point where we are, where the GNSO Council decided that it would be helpful to provide a working group that could provide some input to not only that PDP, but the February 06 PDP, which has to do with contractual conditions for existing registries, and also, of course, to the GNSO Council. And that could mean that, you know, we could end up recommending that maybe some PDPs need to be started on some of these issues, or I think the door is open as to what kind of recommendations we might come up with out of this group. Any questions, or does anyone else want to add to that?
Chuck, it's Meryl. I'd like to add that we do have the, because we are tasked with developing recommendations, we could actually draft a policy recommendation, but it would have to go to the council for consideration and elaboration. So one of our recommendations could narrowly be, if time permitted, a particular recommended policy or something else, is my understanding from Bruce. Does that sound consistent with you, or it could just be additional processes?
Yeah, I think that's consistent with what I understand. And in some cases, you know, if it was actually a policy that was recommended, we might then have to, you know, check with General Counsel of ICANN to make sure that it doesn't have to go through all the steps in a PDP. But I think that's something we could face when we get there. I don't want to imply that policy won't come out of this group, okay? So let's make sure we understand that. But we don't just have to recommend policy either. Okay? Thanks, Marilyn. Okay, the next item on the agenda is interest statements. Now, for those that have been around the GNSO for a while, you know that on different task forces and on the council, et cetera, participants are asked to submit an interest statement so that all of us are aware of each other's particular interests. Now, those interests may or may not create conflicts, but we at least want them to be on the table. In this particular case, obviously, if anyone has particular interests with regard to reserved names of any category, then it would be very important just to put that on the table so everybody in the group knows that you're doing that. So, for example, if you're representing somebody or if your company is very interested in a particular reserve name category, if that was ever unreserved, then that would be a good thing to put forward. And what you'll see under action items is that the that each of us by our next meeting hopefully can submit an interest statement, and it can be fairly simple. I submitted one, for example, when I became a member of the GNSO Council. Now, I can send that around. I don't mind sharing it. I'll probably add to it a little bit for this group, just to address the issue of reserve names. If everybody's comfortable doing it without seeing an example, that's okay too. I'm curious as to what you might think.
This is Neil, and either way would be fine.
Okay, Marilyn.
Chuck, it's Marilyn, but I do think that for those who haven't done this before, some people sometimes just say, "I work for X company," and they don't realize that the rest of the members of a group don't understand what their interests are. So it would be, I think it's important to stress that you do need to identify what your interests are. We don't treat that as a conflict, per se. We treat that as the need to be transparent.
Yeah, and in fact, what Marilyn's really important, it's okay to have interests about some of the issues we're going to be talking about. In fact, you probably wouldn't be on this group or be any worth to this group if you didn't have some interest. So that's perfectly okay. It's just if we're up front about them, then we all know where you're coming from. So, for example, if I'm really hot on getting V.com for VeriSign, and by the way, I don't think VeriSign really wants that. I'm just using this as an example. Then I should, you know, state that if we get to the topic of single letter reservations at the second level, I want you guys to know that my company has this interest, so that you know where I'm coming from. Any questions on that?
That sounds great.
Okay, so that'll be an action item for each of us before the next meeting. And is it okay to just have these sent to the list? No objections to that? I mean, we all need to see each other's anyway, so that seems to make sense.
This is Albert. Can I add something?
Sure.
Yeah, you had mentioned, you know, the idea of sending an example beforehand. I personally, you know, I would think that wouldn't be necessary, assuming that we are sending them to the list. People that haven't written one yet can just wait until the first couple come out.
Good point, Aubrey. Thank you. Okay, item 6 on the agenda. This one may take a little bit longer. We need to have regular agendas. Hopefully you've all looked at the statement of work and the timelines there. It's a pretty aggressive timeline. There's quite a lot to do. I personally think, and keep in mind, though, it's not me to decide, it's the whole group to decide. I personally think that we're going to need weekly meetings as much as we can do it, and think that we need to consider scheduling them weekly.
Absolutely.
So I guess my first question for the group is, does anybody disagree with that, think we don't need or can't practically do weekly meetings? Okay. So I'll assume then that the weekly meetings is the direction we'll go. The next and tougher question is when, okay? For example, is this a good time for people on an ongoing basis? Now, please understand, we all know that all of us, myself included, are probably going to have conflicts once in a while. It's one of the reasons why we have transcribing of the meetings and recordings, so that you can catch up and so forth. And, of course, we have the list where we can do that as well. One problem that we need to be aware of with this particular time is that next week at this time, there's a special GNSO council meeting, and the regular GNSO council meetings usually occur at this time as well. So we would have to work around a few instances. Now, I think, and those that have been on the council for quite a while can chime in and help me out here, but this particular time is picked to accommodate both sides of the world, or all sides of the world, maybe I should say. So, for example, in this group, we have people from Europe. We have people from the east and west coasts of the United States and in between, and South America. We have people from, we have one member from New Zealand, so he's a day ahead of us, and we hope that his thinking is also a day ahead of us, so he'll be a lot of help.
Very marvelous, Chuck.
what's your thinking about that? Is this time generally good, ignoring for right now, we'll talk about it in a minute, the adjustments we're going to have to make when there are GNSO council meetings?
Until we get people from China, yes.
Aubrey, you're coming through really low.
Sorry, I said until we get people, participants from China, it's a good time.
Okay. Anybody object to have a serious problem with this time? And
Chuck,
and the day as well, Thursdays?
Chuck, it's Miron. I might suggest that it's a good time, and on the days we have council conflicts, for those of you on the council, maybe you could just move it to Friday on just those days.
Is Friday the better day to move it to rather than Wednesday?
Oh, you mean just...
That would be Saturday my time. And
yeah, I think that's bad for Alistair.
I see, right. So maybe the alternate proposal is to move it to Wednesday, Chuck?
Would that work?
On the days at this council?
And the first one would be next week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess I ought to look at my calendar.
Chuck, this is John. Next Wednesday is the registrar meeting.
Yeah, that's right. So that would be 11 o'clock in that meeting. Good point, John. And I will be there, as a matter of fact. So that doesn't work very well for that. How many people are involved in the registrar meeting that are on this call that's taking place next Wednesday? I am.
Caroline from Dotmobile.
Caroline and John. Thing we could do is...
him as well, Chuck.
Oh, okay. So there's four. So we're getting a pretty good group. So we don't want to... if there was just a couple of us, I thought we might be able to work around it. But that probably doesn't work.
Chuck, would it help if the meeting was an hour earlier?
A little bit louder, Alistair. I'm barely hearing you.
Sorry. Would it help if the meeting was an hour earlier?
That would give us 1 hour, and that's probably better than not meeting at all. Would an hour earlier work and not work for anybody?
On what day, Chuck?
On Thursday.
Now, you're talking about Thursday then, Alistair?
Thursday your time, yep.
Yeah, so that would be Thursday. So what I think Alistair's suggesting is that on days when there's a council meeting, and the council meeting starts the same time we started this meeting, okay? So if we were to move our meeting up an hour on those days, then we would be okay. Now, are you suggesting that maybe we move it up an hour all the time?
We could. I mean, certainly that would work for me.
Okay.
That would be my preference to have a consistent time every week.
Tim, did you say it would be your preference then to move it an hour earlier on a regular basis?
Correct.
And then on the days of council, we'd have to restrict ourselves to an hour. Other times we could go further, and I'm sure we will. Any objections to that? That works for me. So we'll get that word out to Glenn and to the whole list for that. Did somebody else have a comment?
Just a question, Chuck. On the weeks that there is, this is John Evett, on the weeks that there are no council meetings, how long do you want us to set aside for the call?
Well, I don't want the meeting to ever go beyond 2 hours if we can at all help it. Whether if I'm leading the meetings, and I may not be, okay, because I'm interim chair, I'll certainly try to keep things moving quickly, and I think it's important that we try to do that. Taking more than 2 hours now, it'd be nice probably if we could keep them to an hour and a half. I think an hour is going to be too short for us on a regular basis. Does that help, John?
Yes.
Okay. So if you can block out 2 hours, except when there are council meetings, it's helpful. Hopefully we can try to be as efficient as possible and do a lot of work, not just on the calls, but in between times so that we don't have to have such long calls. All right. Well, that was easier than I had anticipated. Thank you. The next topic is election of a permanent chair. If you read the statement of work, you know that it just called for the council to elect an interim chair. And they elected me, and with the understanding that the group itself would elect its own chair.
Chuck, I'd like to propose that you become permanent chair of the working group.
I'd like to second that proposal. This is Aubrey.
I think it's time for us to call the question and hold a vote. But
hold on, Marilyn. I'm chair, so
I
think we ought to give opportunity for other people if there are other nominations.
Sure, but Chuck, I actually had a different question for you. Do you want to? Did you need to turn that process over to somebody else?
Do I need to?
I just asked.
Yeah. Well. It takes a lot of time, and I have a busy schedule.
Sorry, you misunderstood me. I meant to ask, did you want to turn the process of...
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah. That's a very good point. Marilyn, since you brought it up, would you like to take over?
Ooh, all right, I will, but very temporarily.
Okay.
So this is just for those of you who are new, kind of a tradition, whenever the person in the chair is... when we're discussing and holding the nomination and election process, it's typically to someone else for a temporary period. So can I just ask if there are other nominations? I hear none. Can I ask for a vote of, by voice vote, can I ask for a vote of acclamation for the person who has been nominated, Chuck Bones? All in favor, please say aye.
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 I think this has been confirmed. I'll ask the secretariat to record that and that it was a nomination process, a second call for additional nominations, and a vote of acclamation by voice vote, and I'll turn this back to the Chuck.
Well, I don't know if I should say thank you or not, but I will try to do my best. I really appreciate the fact that there's going to be staff support, and I would also just encourage everyone that's on the group to contribute in as many ways as you can and be responsive. It makes it a lot easier for the person trying to keep the thing moving if that's the case. And it takes much less of the chair's time. So thank you very much for your confidence in me in that regard. I hope I can live up to that. But again, that'll be dependent on all of us because it is a team effort. So I guess it's back to me, huh, Marilyn?
No kidding.
All righty. Item number 8. And this is an important one to make sure we have good understanding of the statement of work. Now, we shouldn't look at the statement of work too rigidly. Certainly we should with regard to particular deliverables or dates that are in there. But it's not meant to tie our hands and keep us from doing a good job if we think we need to make some adjustments there. And at the same time, it's important we understand the statement of work and the purpose of it and the purpose of our existence and what we're supposed to accomplish. So the first thing I thought I would do would be to just open it up for general questions and comments, and then if it's okay with everybody, go over the little outline that I sent around a little while before the meeting that incorporates quite a bit of the statement work in that outline in a little different order and so forth. Any problems with approaching it that way? Okay, then let's start off with just open it up for anybody on the call who has a question about the statement of work or any comments you would like to make.
Chuck, it's Liz here, but I'll go after everyone else has made their comments.
Yeah, this is Tim, Chuck.
I'm sorry, who, is that Tim?
Yeah, this is Tim.
Okay,
this,
so I've got
one.
Tim and Liz.
Mike Kalage, Chuck.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay.
And Marilyn.
Marilyn, okay. All right, Tim, why don't you start it off?
Okay, mine was just a to point out on your summary on 2B and C, both mentioned Feb 06 and no mention of December 05 PDP.
Good. There are several mentions, though, of the introduction of new TLDs, I think. It's a very good point you're bringing up, Tim. There's absolutely a connection to the December 05 PDP. That's how this thing came into existence. Don't assume the fact that I didn't mention it by name that it's not there. I think you'll find several places where we talk about the introduction of new TLDs. And if it's not there, we should understand that that's that really drives our priorities in our work. Good question. Did that answer your question, Tim?
Yeah. Thanks, Chuck.
Okay, Mike.
Hi, yes. I guess one of the questions I have about the statement of work is just the broad reference to the term reserve names. And to give you an example, .coop in their contract has a list of reserve names that are outside of the traditional one and two character names that most people generally refer to. And again, some of these are bank, insurance, health, .coop. And I guess my question here is most of the discussion that I think most have seen within the community has focused on the one and two letter names. And would it be possible in this statement of work to possibly, if you will, narrow this focus to just the ICANN reserve names, those that have been traditionally withheld from reservation, as opposed to broadening the scope of this potential mandate to include other names that have been reserved by registry operators for other purposes?
Now, Mike, if we were to go that route, how would we – what about the new categories that may come up? Again, in the Amsterdam meeting for the new TLD PDP, one of the things that came up was this whole category of controversial names at the top level. So that's not in there right now. And so how would you are you suggesting that we not look at those sorts of things?
I guess my suggestion, Chuck, is I think, ICANN has done a pretty good job on this to date, and in part I base that wearing my other hat. For disclosure purposes, in connection with the consulting work that I do with Affilius, which is the registry operator for .info, I have worked with them in connection with the Board Resolution 0192 that was the allocation of the original country names. So I think ICANN has generally done a good job of being responsive to allow the allocation of these names. They're actually, .coop has actually worked with ICANN in getting a two-letter domain name released. I think it was A2, or it was... I could take a look at the exact – yeah, it's A2.coop. So ICANN has been responsive in working with the registry operators to get these names reserved, as evidenced by the recent GNR proposal. So I think what I'm trying to say is the process is working, I think, to date, and we just want to try to be a little less restrictive. And again, for those members of the cross-constituency call, we heard today how the proposed registry operator for XXX was talking about a much more
broader reserve the list. So I think that's some of the things that we need to be careful of. We need to allow registry operators to have some discretion in reserving certain names. So I guess that's what I'm just trying to bring to the table here.
Good. Let me respond, first of all, by saying I don't think there's anything we should not assume that we need to necessarily recommend changes in anything that's being done right now. Okay, the fact that this working group exists, we shouldn't presuppose that that means that things that are handled one way now need to change. In my mind, and people may have different opinions on this, we could come back with a recommendation, as long as we can reach rough consensus, that the way certain categories of reserve names, or for that matter, the way all reserve names are being handled right now, should be handled the way they are today. So my first response, Mike, is that the outcome you're looking at could happen through the work of the group, but I think what you're suggesting is that the statement of work narrow it right up front. Is that correct?
That would be my proposal.
Okay, no, that's good. That's perfectly okay. I just wanted to clarify and make sure we were all on the same page. One of the things I think would be helpful in that regard, Mike, is I'm not sure saying ICANN related covers it. So we might have to define that a little bit better, because what's ICANN related? Does that just mean IANA and the ones that are referred to as ICANN in there is a two-character reservation ICANN related? I'm not sure. You follow
me? And if you like, Chuck, perhaps I could, I think later in the call we do have a session where we'll go through some of the comparative list, and perhaps
we will.
At that time
if we have
could
time,
look,
yeah.
And if you want, maybe I could even try to take a crack at drafting some language that may encompass that. So
that's perfectly okay with me. Before we move on to Marilyn, did anybody want to respond to that at all?
This is Greg Shatton, kind of from the point of view of trademark owners and just my own general point of view. I think I'm more comfortable with the broader mandate, and indeed it's some of the newer and reserved names, such as geographic names, controversial names, premium names, and the like, that are really of equal, if not greater, concern, or at least, you know, are, I think, worth working through. So I would not want to limit our mandate up front.
Aubrey, can I add something to this?
Was that Aubrey?
Yes, please.
Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. I actually tend to agree that it's probably good that we discuss what role, if any, adding extra names have. I mean, I hope that we haven't made a decision that, yes, there is a role and we'll create lists, and are open to the arguments that there is no role, if any, for more reserve names. But I think discussing that particular issue, if there is a role for a larger list, is a discussion we should have.
Chuck, it's Marilyn. I'd like to get in the queue on this topic.
Go ahead, Marilyn.
With Tim, I would too.
I think it's well known to everybody on the list, but if it's not, it should be, that Chuck and I are the primary authors of the original statement of work, and I think I'll speak only for myself, I think we tried very hard to create the openness that addresses the what role, if any, that Aubrey just mentioned. But I will just note that, as a previous counselor, the working group actually doesn't have the ability to modify the statement of work itself. It's like a task force modifying the terms of reference that the council gives it. If the working group were to go through the statement of work and spend time deciding it can't do its statement of work, it would actually have to go back to the council to get a vote on a modification in the statement of work. Just as happens with task forces, you can at some point decide that a particular area is not addressable, or there's no resources for it, or whatever, and report back on that. But it's not our job, I don't mean to be legalistic about this, But it's not a working group's job nor a task force's job to modify its assignment of work from the council.
Okay. Thank you, Marilyn. Tim?
Yeah, well, I think Marilyn just probably made my point better now, is that if we, well, first, are we able to even change the statement of work, given that it was passed by, you know, a council resolution? And the fact that, you know, if we get into that now, I can see us spending weeks, you know, engaged in that discussion before we actually get started on the statement of work. So I guess I would prefer that we leave the statement of work as is and get our work started.
Any other responses to Mike's suggestion? Okay. Marilyn, you were in queue.
I was. My question, Chuck, is, and it probably does come from the fact I'm extremely familiar with the statement of work. You did an excellent job of reorganizing this and the statement of giving us a work outline and identifying back to the statement of work. Off the top of your head, did you match all of the elements to our work outline, or is that something that we should try to do offline in case we missed anything?
Well, I would encourage everyone to make sure that I did. I tried to. Okay, but please make sure that I did. I didn't include everything that's in the statement of work. For example, I didn't deal with the voting and some things like that, okay? But I certainly tried to deal with purpose, with tasks, with approach, and with issues. I tried to include everyone that was mentioned there. In a couple cases, I think I even broke it down a little bit. But absolutely check to make sure that that was well covered.
Okay? And then my follow-up question is, after we do that, so we could possibly, if someone observes something that needs to be added in, we would then be able to update the statement of work outline in any way that's necessary.
Yes,
okay,
absolutely. In fact, I'm sure we will.
Chuck, it's Liz here. When you're ready, I'll just add my bits in.
You're next.
Thank you very much. Chuck, I was just conscious that we have quite a few people on the group that may not be familiar with the broader context of the work, and I just thought I should quickly run through the other time frames, especially with respect to the deliverable dates that you've got listed, which is Statement of Work 1.3.
Sure, Liz, go ahead.
I'm happy to take any questions from anyone of the group offline if you need extra information. The new TLDs committee is preparing a final report, which is a formal piece of the policy development process for the new TLDs, in preparation for the Los Angeles meetings, which have been referred to in the progress reports for the deliverable dates there on the 22nd of February. And we'd be expecting that we would be completing the final report in time for the Lisbon meeting. And it's critical that this piece of work on reserve names gets finished by that point, because it's very important to be including that work in there. And I'm happy to take further questions on or provide anybody with a copy of the existing draft report on the new top-level domain so people can see the broader context of the recommendations. The second piece of that is the policy development process on policies for contractual conditions for existing registries, and you'll see that that's referred to a couple of times in the statement of work there. The PDP 706 and Avery, who was on the call, is the chair of that particular task force, and the draft final task force report is under preparation as we speak. Well, not actually at this very moment, because I'm doing this, but it's actively in preparation for final discussion at the Los Angeles meetings, which are going to happen in the third week of February. Again, I'm more than happy to provide this working group with that cross-reference material. The final piece of the puzzle is that there's quite a lot of background materials available for anyone who's on this Reserve Names Working Group, and that includes stuff that I was handed today, which is actually a delightful piece of ICANN archives that goes back to correspondence with John Postel in 1994. So if anyone who's a history maven who wants to have a look at what the treatment of reserve names was in 1994, then I'm more than happy to send you material. But more cogently than that, there is a lot of information that's available on the existing RFCs that refer to reserve names, on the appropriate appendices that relate to the specific existing contracts for reserve name treatment and existing registry agreements. And there's quite a lot of information, technical information that's available, and I'm happy to provide that for all of the members of the working group, of course, but if anyone wants to have that straight away, then I'm happy to give it to you.
Okay, thank you. My suggestion, Liz, would be that any of those that deal with reserve names in a general nature, I think would be good to send to the list right away.
Yeah.
My own personal preference is that some of them that start dealing with specific reserve name categories, I would prefer that those be brought up and referred to people when we get to those categories, so that people aren't so inundated with a huge amount of data that they just get totally bogged down.
Sure, Chuck, it was my intention to deal with the whole set of reserve names rather than dealing with subsets of particular categories.
Good. And anything you have that fits that category, I certainly suggest that you send them to the list.
Yeah, sure. I won't do it this moment because I can't be on the phone and online at the same time whilst I'm doing calls from home, but it will be tomorrow morning.
Yeah, that's fine. That's very good. Thank you. Any other general comments or questions regarding the statement of work before we look at the outline? Okay.
Before you start, this is Aubrey.
Okay.
I'm
going
to have to drop off the call in 5 minutes, so I'll just do it silently when I have to.
Okay. Thanks, Aubrey. Appreciate you joining. All right. Did anyone not receive the outline that I sent out today? If you have that in front of you, it probably makes it easier to go through it right now, which is what I requested in the message to Liz. And I won't read it verbatim, but I'll try and go through the key points. Please stop me at any point that you have a question, whether I pause for questions or not, and I'll try to do that periodically. Again, the purpose of this document is not to replicate the statement of work, but rather to get some of the key action items and purpose and so forth and approach captured in a way that may help us in our next really big step in this group, and that is to map out a work plan. First of all, as far as general approach, it's a rough consensus approach. We really want to try to reach positions that most, if not all, of us can support. My own personal bias is that I'd really like to minimize the use of voting except for simply polling to see how close we are to getting pretty good agreement in terms of what we've done, and if we haven't got agreement, then let's try and see if we can accommodate some of the other views and come up with a position that most of us can support. And I think that's a healthy way to go. I think for the most part that's what's happened in the new TLD PDP, and I think that's worked pretty effectively. It happens in other organizations in terms of a rough consensus approach. Well, now, there is the fact that if there's a point, and I'd like to hope maybe we never get to that point, but that may be overly idealistic. If formal voting is necessary, each constituency gets 3 votes regardless of how many people you have on the working group or who are present on the working group. And I suppose that could mean that different members from a constituency could vote differently. That's probably between them and their constituency. Each individual nominating committee counselor has 1 vote, and liaisons are non-voting, and we probably will have some liaisons. I think we probably will have one from the GAC. I've heard indirectly that there's some interest there, and I sent a note to Suzanne Sen, who's the Geneso Council GAC liaison, welcoming someone from the GAC. And, of course, as you can see from the statement of work, the ALAC, any of the other advisory committees could put a member on this group as well.
Chuck?
Yes, Marilyn?
I just wanted to ask, I heard this morning from a member of the CCNSO that particular CCNSO member was interested, and I wondered if you had yet, I didn't understand, had you yet been able to send a communique to Chris, the chair?
No, I did not. I guess maybe I'll throw that out to the group. There's one particular category of reserve names that is particularly relevant to CCTLDs, and I was kind of thinking that that would be the appropriate point to do that, but maybe I'm wrong on that. The two-letter second-level domain names obviously are an issue for CCTLDs. Do you think that I should, and I'm throwing this out to the whole group, do you think that, that I should send something to all of the, maybe all of the other supporting organizations and as well as the advisory committees?
The statement of work, said, to quote from that, it's Marilyn speaking, says advisory committees, for example, ALAC-GAC. What I would just say about the, and then that the CCNO could be invited, blah, blah, blah. This recently, though, it occurs to me, because of my participation in the IDN working group, Chuck, that actually a particular issue of names that may be controversial could be a country name in lieu of a country code.
That's right.
And so I actually wanted to propose that you might want to yourself reach out to Ram Mohan, the chair of the IDN working group, and to Chris and ask them, based on the statement of work, ask Chris to tell the working group what the interest of the CCNSO might be to have an observer. It probably because CPTO5 includes the treatment of IDNs. We specifically have in our task and working group responsibility to review the applicability for IDN GTLDs. We probably would want to ask the chair of the IDN working group, Ram Mohan, for his views.
Okay. So you made two specific suggestions, right? Reach out to Krista Spain, chair of the CCNSO, and reach out to Ram, chair of the IDN working group.
Right.
Okay. If there are no objections, I will do that. Okay. Good. Now one of the things I'd like each of you to keep your eyes and ears open on, I think it's really important that this team of people represent as many divergent points of view on this as possible, so that we can then work towards reaching rough consensus and in a way that most or all of us can support going forward. If we don't do that, when we pass our recommendations forward to the council, it's likely that they will go nowhere or will all of a sudden run into that divergence and it'll create problems. So to the extent that any of you are aware that particular viewpoints are not well represented on the group, I would encourage you to try and get someone who represents those viewpoints to join us, if not on a regular basis, maybe even to come in and share their viewpoint on a short-term basis.
Chuck, it's Lucy. May I just make a little point, if you don't mind, when you've got a break?
Go ahead.
Chuck, I had a conversation yesterday with Suzanne Shen, who's the GAC GNSO liaison, and just to let her know that this work was taking place because the GAC are well advanced in the preparation of their public policy principles for new TLDs. And of course, the reserve names list relates to many of the things that the GAC might be interested in. So in addition, I'm sorry to create work for you, but and I'm happy to do this for you, but perhaps you might just like to send Suzanne a formal note to just tell her what's going on and send her the statement of work. And she would pass it to her GAC members.
Last night, I sent Suzanne an email.
Oh, good. Okay, cool.
And let her know that this was happening today. Told her if she didn't get the statement of work from the council list, that I'd be more than happy to send it to her.
Lovely.
And welcomed a GAC liaison on the group.
Super. Thanks, Chuck.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Okay. Next, deliverable dates. Now, Tim, I think I know the source of your question now that I'm looking at my outline. You'll see that February, I see as we look at deliverable dates, the February 06 PDP shows up real clearly there. And the reason for that is because I went to the GNSO calendar, because in the statement of work we're required to keep the two PDP groups, 06 and 05, informed of progress, I picked out dates when they were meeting so that we know that we should, you know, give them an update. And that'll probably be done by somebody on this group that's a part of the PDP. And in this particular case, there were no dates listed other than the joint meeting for the December 05 PDP. So anyway, enough on that. You can see we have two. I bolded the two really critical dates that Liz already alluded to. By 22 February, actually probably the day before, or in the meetings at least, I'm going to be there for the new GTLD part of the meetings, so I could actually do this. But we do need to have a progress report ready for those meetings, you know, before they start so that they have those at the time they need them. And the other big deliverable, and could be the end of our working group, is 16th of March, which is a week before the start of the ICANN meetings in Lisbon. That's when our final report is due. Everybody understands that the council could then decide, hey, we need you to do some, we would ask, like you to do some additional work, and the motion that was passed said that that would, you know, would need to be completed within 30 days after that time frame. So the other things I put in there, status report to the council, we're not going to have much, but I can deliver that, you know, verbally next Thursday in our special council meeting. If we can get that, it's not on the agenda, but I can do it under other business. That won't be a very lengthy thing, but at least let them know we got started and give them maybe a couple minutes worth of status. Aubrey had to leave us, but she's the chair of the February 06 PDP task force, and they have a couple meetings there that I put in there for giving a status report, and I suspect that Aubrey will be able to do that for us in that regard. And the next meeting of the council would be on the 1st of March, and we would need a status report there. That's probably one I can deliver. So those are just deliverable dates. There may be others added to that as other meetings are set up by the PDP groups and so forth.
Chuck, it's,
yes.
it's Marilyn. On item 2F,
mm-hmm.
You and I and those who are on the council are very familiar with this particular issue, but it would be helpful for other folks, I think, for you to just explain the one modification made by the council on the issue of our work is concluded unless the council specifically asks us to do something else and then it has a deadline.
Right, and that's what I was referring to when I was mentioning the 30 days.
Right.
There is the option that the council could ask the working group to do a few more tasks, but there's a limit on that. It should not go beyond an additional 30 days. Now, did I not answer that? What you just asked, Marilyn?
I think it's particularly for people who are going to be going back to their constituency and reporting on, you know, how long you have tied them to the grindstone.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And it's probably good to add here as well. And I'm sharing my own personal opinion right now. I think it would be very naive to think that that come the end of this working group, we're going to have all the reserve name issues resolved. There are several that are highly controversial and fairly complex. So I think it's naive of us to think that we're going to solve them all in this working group. I don't believe we will. But hopefully, for those that are more complex and controversial, we can at least recommend a roadmap forward that can be used either in other PDPs, other working groups, some maybe even parallel, working at the same time on different subsets of the reserve names topic. So does that make sense? Okay. Going on then, Section 3 of the outline are some examples of reserve names. Now, this list is not intended to be complete, so please note that as a parenthetical down at the bottom of the list. But it certainly gives us some key issues to start with, and we can add to it and modify them or whatever. But certainly, what are the possible roles and purposes for reserve names at the top level? How should reserve names be addressed for IDNs? What role, if any, should reserve names play with regard to controversial categories, trademark names, country geopolitical names, etc.? Now, I should point out that with regard to trademark names, I personally don't see this group doing a lot with that, because another working group will probably be formed on February 1st, or will be initiated on February 1st, that is going to deal with that category. So there's no need for us to duplicate that particular thing, except as it specifically relates to reserve names. And so we may need some feedback from that other working group. Yes.
This is Tim.
Go ahead, Tim.
So is that working group in regard to actually Sunrise processes within new GTLDs, or?
It's been renamed, Tim. Let's see if I can get the name correct. And I don't, it may change again, but it's Domain Rights Protection Working Group or something like that. The council in its meeting last week decided that, the problem with calling it a Sunrise Working Group is it kind of implies that there has to be a sunrise period. And so that working group and the statement of work for that is being reworked right now and will be considered by the council, the revision, on the meeting next Thursday, and that's, in fact, why that special meeting was called.
Chuck, I can provide you some updated information there if you wish, if it was helpful for the group.
Sure, go ahead, Liz.
Just for the purposes of the group, because the statement of work is not complete for what I've now called the Protecting the Rights of Others Working Group, for want of a better term. Uta Decker and I had, Uta Decker is one of the representatives from the IPC constituency, and Christina Rosette, who's the other person who's on the council, both of those people are council members. They've revised the statement of work, and I had a conference call with Uta today, which has substantially revised the statement of work, and I would expect that would be turned over to the council list for further discussion tomorrow. So, Tim, to answer your direct question, it doesn't just deal with sunrise periods. It deals more broadly with the protection of rights, and they might be trademark owners or anyone else, and also protection from abusive registration. So that's going to be coming out probably tomorrow afternoon.
Chuck, it's Carolyn. But I think it's important to clarify that group is dealing with second level only. As the terms of reference guidance that were originally given to that group, they're dealing with second levels only.
Okay.
So, and I'm just noting that because if this group were to decide that I personally would put the use of trademarks at the top level under the category of probably very controversial, but I just note that.
Yeah, good point. Very good point. Thank you. Yeah. And so that's really going to fall into our court.
But Chuck, this is Mike. And perhaps, I guess what I'm confused is we've sat there and we've had a process that's been going on for over a year with regard to the introduction of new TLDs. And we've talked about, if you will, if there are potential oppositions, there's a potential conflict if someone believes that their trademark appears as a top-level domain. And if we're talking about trying to, not broaden the work of our scope or whatever, I just don't see how that gets into how that's within our scope. I mean, that clearly has been addressed by the other working group, and I just see a disconnect here.
Well, except for one aspect that comes to mind for me, and that is at the top level, and by the way, the new TLD PDP committee has talked about this and has addressed it at least at a high level so far in the recommendations. I don't think you want a new TLD introduced that may violate some trademark rights, have them set up all their infrastructure, go to all the expense there, and then go through a UDRP process after the fact, and lose and do that. So the committee itself, in the recommendations, and Liz, you're welcome to help me out here, but has as I recall, recommended that some UDRP-like process happen early on in the evaluation process so that we don't get in a situation like that. Did I characterize that accurately, Liz? Or someone else that's on the new TLD?
Chuck, it's Liz here. Sorry, I was just struggling with my mute button again. It's late at night. I'm not so good with my mute button. Just so that the broader group, and I'm sorry, I keep cross-referring to other work that's happening, but it's important for this group to know what's going on. The discussion of the use of UDRP-like dispute resolution processes for string contention is actually quite important, and that work has been taking place behind the scenes to ensure that a reserved names list, meaning small r, small n, provides guidance to applicants for new TLD strings, not just provides guidance for potential registrants and registry operators, that there would be a reserved names list in a successful registry that might be a new one that takes place. So that is definitely going on.
Thank you. But and isn't there something there, Liz, in the draft report that has to do with looking for intellectual property violations or other sorts of violations early in the evaluation process?
Yep.
Yeah, okay, good. Just wanted to clarify that. Thank
yep.
you. Mike, did that, I don't know if that helped or not, but...
I totally agree with what Liz has said. There will be a mechanism, and matter of fact, I stood up during the public comment forum during the council, I believe it was during the one public forum, and specifically recommended WIPO based upon their expertise in this area.
Right.
So, to me, I think this is what WIPO, if we're worrying about resolving, trademark disputes at the top level, WIPO is the appropriate forum, or hopefully their guidance in coming up with an administrative process is what we're looking for,
right.
As opposed to coming up with a reserve list of names that somehow trademarks are going to be founding themselves on this reserve list, and then no one will ever be came forward. That was the potential slippery slope I was worried
gotcha.
About going down.
Yeah, very well said. And again, let me make sure we all understand, we shouldn't presume that what we need to do is come up with some expanded reserve name lists on all these issues. Some of them may be handled very differently and maybe not the same for all TLDs or whatever, another question that comes up here shortly on the list. So let's not be so fixated that the only recommendations we come back with are reserve name lists. We may decide that reserve name lists aren't necessary, but rather some process should be developed, like Mike was just talking about, to deal with certain issues. Okay?
Chuck, can I ask a question?
Sure.
Sorry, it's Carolyn here. Just curious, is there any general understanding at this stage as to what we mean when we say controversial categories of names? Just from my own understanding, you mentioned it came up at an Amsterdam meeting. That term, is there, are we just throwing it out there, or do you mean to include
in
particular categories, like single or double letter, is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, of course, you get into, if you look at the new TLD's recommendations, you'll see some mention of offensive names, of religious names, of, there's a whole bunch of things there. It's a really tough category. And
okay, so
GAC
it's like an umbrella
also,
term, really.
Yeah, the GAC mm-hmm. is also taking a look at that.
Chuck, it's Marilyn. Marilyn, I might just say I have had extensive conversations with. I spent 3 weeks with 120 governments in Turkey at the end of the year last year. had to have something to talk to them about, right? A lot of the governments, I would say, are. They kind of still think that they recognize controversial when they see it, but others are clearer, as probably any of us would be, that a religious name that is a globally recognized prophet or deity would be controversial.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, some names are controversial individually in certain countries. some countries have laws about whether or not their country name can be used without permission of the government. Others do not. So a name might be, and it's worth just saying, a name might be controversial initially, but it may be possible to make it non-controversial and then release it. And that brings me to something, Chuck, that I forgot to mention, that I think it's, we're going to get to this when we talk about H. So when we talk about that there may be a reserved name category, I think it's really important to understand there may need to be a process by which a name becomes unreserved because the controversy is resolved, and I'll give an example of that. A country might initially have a long list of names that they want to go on a reserve list, but then be willing to have that name or geographic phrase released to a group that they support. .Asia might be a existing example. It wasn't on a reserve list, but an effort was made to gain the concurrence of a number of governments to not object to the use of that name. Do you see what I mean? So originally, a regional phrase might be considered controversial, but it may then be possible to release it.
So did your question get answered, Caroline?
I did, yes. Thanks, both.
Okay, you're welcome. All right. D under item 3 is should names reserved at the second level automatically be reserved at the top level? E, should any reserved name requirements be the same for all GTLDs? F, should there be a procedure for publishing new categories of reserved names before adding them to registry agreements? G, should there be a process for reserving names? H, should there be a process for unreserving names? I, should it be assumed that all new strings allocated as GTLDs are reserved at the second level when they are awarded? You know, again, that list isn't intended to be complete. I'm sure we'll come up with lots of other questions. We may even break some of those down into sub-questions. Any questions or comments on that? Again, I don't want to have discussion on these questions right now, but is it clear what the, are the examples clear? Okay, tasks. And I, in A and B under tasks, I actually quoted from the statement of work. The first thing we have to do is perform an initial examination of the role and treatment of reserved domain names at the first and second level. And then, and you can see the reference there to where that's found in the statement of work. And then I tried to take some things from other parts of the statement of work and fit them into that. And the first one under there was to summarize existing reserve name contractual conditions found in the GTLD register agreements. Now, that's one I took on myself and at least made a, what I hope is a good start on that and have distributed that already. And I show you there in the outline which attachments or appendices apply to the different TLDs. And there are 16 TLD agreements that are on ICANN's website. There are not 16 that are live right now, but there are 16 that are on the website with their agreement, okay, on ICANN's website. And then next underneath that that initial examination of role and treatment is define the role of reserve names, and that's where a lot of documentation that Liz was referring to will come into play. Community discussions, ICANN staff reports, relevant technical documents, existing staff work, and relevant experiences that are recorded, two-letter CCTLD names, et cetera. So that whole idea of finding the of determining the role of reserve names is going to be a really important early task for us, in my opinion. The second part, second task listed there at the high level is provide recommendations for further consideration by the task force or council. So ultimately, out of our work, we're tasked with making some recommendations, and some suggestions are made in the statement of work as to how that might happen. First thing being to organize sub-elements of this huge, broad topic of reserve names, which I think Mike referred to there. Into so that if we can organize it so that to get first of all, to guide our work, but secondly, possibly to guide future work that might not even be done by us, but by other working groups or PDPs, et cetera. And the first thing there is to estimate the complexity of the various issues associated with each sub-element, and describe that complexity. And the purpose of that would lead into number two, which would be help us then to prioritize the sub-elements according to the estimated level of complexity, the importance or relevance to complete the work prior to the introduction of new TLDs. Let me pause and comment a little bit on that one. The new TLD process is moving forward, so it would be very helpful if we can get some things done that are realistic and practical to get done, some recommendations that could happen with the introduction of new TLDs when that occurs. And so if there are some things that aren't so overly complex and can be done in a shorter period of time, identifying those and moving those forward would be very helpful to that process. And then, of course, we can come up with some other criteria. We won't take time to talk about that right now, but when we're prioritizing, we could, you know, apply some other criteria if we thought it was helpful. Number three under there is to identify any sub-elements involving names at the first and second level for which additional work may need to be done. Work that may be able to be completed in the near term. I got ahead of myself. And again, in time for introduction of new TLDs, and I categorize that as short-term work to help in the next few bulleted items there. So then I think we would need to come up with a plan for completing the short-term work. We may then, depending on the details, need to get council approval to proceed with that work either ourselves or that it be assigned to another group, whatever our recommendation may be. And then those elements of short-term work need to be implemented if applicable. Now, that could involve us. It could involve some totally different group. We don't need to focus on who does that right now. And then number five, then, there are going to be some things that are not short-term. Now, hopefully we can make some contributions even with the more complex and lengthy processes that may need to happen for some of the reserve name sub-elements. But hopefully at a minimum we can at least make some recommendations as to how we would suggest those other issues be dealt with going forward. Okay. Now, I went through that pretty quickly because of time. Are there any questions or comments? What I'd like you to do between now and next Thursday when we meet is think about, you know, how we should organize our work, and hopefully this outline can help us some, and if people can come up with some constructive ideas of how to proceed, and you can use this, you can go a totally different route, but next week we really need to map out at least what we're going to be doing in the next few weeks so that we can jump right in and proceed. All right. That takes care of item 8 on the agenda. Item 9 is relatively brief. There are some documents, and Liz already committed to tomorrow. She's going to send us some other ones that fit into the kind of general category of reserve names. But I listed some here. Obviously, the appendices and attachments and the registry agreements are a key source. Now, because there are 16 different agreements and you have to go to each URL separately to review them and so forth, I have tried to take some of the pain out of that, and I'll talk about that in a minute. There's also 3 RFCs that are related to reserve names. And they're referenced in the agenda there, in the latest version of the agenda.
Chuck?
Yes, go ahead.
I was just having a, when I was looking at RFC 2141, I was just having a hard time trying to figure out how that fit into the reserve name, just exactly how it applied. So that, you know, I don't know if we need to address that right now, but it might be something to...
Yeah, good question. Liz, can you help there at all? I'm picking on Liz because she's the one that gave me the RFCs.
And I'm sorry, could I ask who was speaking?
Sorry, Chuck. Yes.
That was Tim Ruiz.
Oh, hi. Thanks.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Oh, yeah, sorry. Marilyn, were you speaking?
With URM syntax, so that was...
Go ahead, Liz.
Oh, sorry, I just got caught in the crosstalk there. Yeah, Tim, just to answer your question, the 2141 was the part of the more historical background to the use of reserve names and how it came about. But tomorrow, I won't go into it now because I know that time is short for the group, but I'll set out an explanation for those three things and why they were included.
That'd be excellent. Thanks. Good point, Tim. You're ahead of me because I haven't gone back and looked at it.
Okay.
So, all right. And again, we can add other documents to that. As Liz already committed, she's going to send out some others that kind of have a general background information with regard to reserve names in general. Okay? Now, I sent you earlier today all a document titled Comparison of GTLD Registry Reserve Names. Now, I've already got one addition to it, and I'll talk about that just briefly. But because Caroline Greer, who's on the call with us, pointed it out to me, when I did the comparison, I only looked at the attachments and the appendices, and there was actually something in the body of the .mobi contract, maybe in others as well, but I did not have time to look in the body of every agreement and do that. So I will give you that information. Now, we've been going for almost an hour and a half. We can do a high-level overview of that comparison document. I can run through it very quickly, and then you can examine it in more detail yourself. Or, because we've been going an hour and a half, depending on the wishes of the group, everybody could review that on their own, and then we could talk about it next week. We're probably going to talk about it next week, whether we do it today or not. What are the wishes of the group?
This is Tim. I'm going to have to drop off, so I apologize, but I will certainly follow up on the action items for the next call.
Thank you, Tim.
Chuck, it's Marilyn. I have a couple of questions about it that would be helpful. I generally am familiar...
About the comparison document?
Yeah.
Okay.
I generally am familiar with reserve names because I have tried to familiarize myself with them as much as possible in order to help write the statement of work. But there was something in here that I was surprised about. I think it's worth noting that... Sorry, I can't do page numbers, but I think it's worth noting. I'll find it over here in a minute. I was not aware that names were reserved in any of the registries at the third level until I saw your addition here,
mm-hmm.
and that it is presently one registry only, and that's .pro.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was helpful to note, and I would assume... I'm just assuming that is because of the unique character of .pro.
Right, I think it is because of the fact that they were using the second level for something else.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thanks. That was really a surprise to me and a learning experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in fact, it was a learning experience for me to put this thing together, just because of. To see that I had never gone to the detail of seeing what the very was.
I also...
Go ahead, Marilyn.
I also thought that it's not an appendix. It might be thought of it that way as the explanation about .name. is, and that too is a unique situation, is probably, you know, worth the group becoming more familiar with, because of all I generally knew about it, I thought that was a good addition. And then the fact that I am familiar with that name's other reserve list, but the fact that they have a unique approach to dealing with African names, Arabic names,
yep.
Et cetera, and post-fix reservations.
Yeah, and one of the things that's interesting as you look at the variety, the fact that things are done differently with different GTLDs probably is very healthy, but that's something we can talk about as we go through. And there are variations in terms of business model with the TLDs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me call your attention to the fact that one of the things I left out, and Caroline, you're welcome to jump in on this, and she pointed out to me, by the way, to test the accuracy, I didn't have a chance to test that document you got with anybody else because I got it out so late. But I did send it to the registries list, and I asked the registries, if they had time, to please take a look at it and make sure I represented their agreement correctly. And I got a couple responses back, and Caroline in particular pointed out that that in the main body of their agreement for .mobi, they do have a clause that makes reference to an IANA list of TLDs that are reserved as well.
Mm-hmm.
In the next version, which I will send out right after this meeting, of this document, I'll send out a version 2, and the orange highlighted things will be the changes in it, including that particular issue. Caroline, do you want to add anything to that?
No, I think you've covered it there.
Now, do you know, Caroline, right off the bat, are you the only registry that has that clause in your main agreement?
I don't know off the bat. I'm not sure.
I know that CommonNet doesn't have it, but I haven't gone back and done that.
I'm not sure if .info has it. Maybe, Michael, I'm not sure if you know that.
What was that, Caroline?
Does .info have that requirement?
Mike, the clause, let me read you the clause. It's real brief, okay? It
mm-hmm.
says, this is in the main part of their agreement, registry operator shall reserve and not register any TLD strings first appearing on the list of reserved TLD strings attached as Appendix 6, here too, that we're familiar with, okay? Number 2, located, and it gives a URL there for the IANA site, for initial, i.e. other than renewal, registration at the second level within the TLD. Okay, now, and the list there, Mike, that's referred to is basically, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, Caroline, because I haven't analyzed it thoroughly, but it looks like a list of all TLDs.
Right, yeah.
CCTLDs, GTLDs, and any that you might not consider, neither of those, depending on whether you consider .ARPA or some of those like that. But all TLDs
yeah.
that are in the root zone, then, are listed there. Is that correct?
That's right, yeah. Something tells me I've seen it in a .info agreement. I don't know, Michael, you might be able to verify that. But
yeah, somebody sure. can. If somebody
yeah,
can,
if you want, Chuck, I could sit there, and that's something I could easily verify.
Yeah, I'm just not online at the minute, so I can't.
And just send that to the list, Mike, and
mm-hmm.
and then that would be great.
Yeah.
Chuck, this is Patrick.
Yes, Patrick.
That provision shows up in the new biz agreement, and I'm sure it's also in the info and org agreements as well.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Marilyn. Item I, think it's 3I. It was in our initial statement of work. It was put as a question.
And you're talking about the outline?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was aware when we wrote this that there was this question that in some cases I knew that the existing TLDs had been reserved. So the question reads, and I just want to be sure that this question relates to the point you're making. Should it be assumed, this is just what it says now, should it be assumed that all new strings allocated as GTLDs are reserved at the second level when they, I guess I should say after they are awarded? Right now, that's what it looks to me like, .mobi and to Patrick's point, the new .biz, et cetera. As GTLDs are reserved, Patrick, am I right about that? As GTLDs are allocated, they end up on this new IANA list, and any further GTLDs would then need to reserve those.
That's the language as it appears now.
Okay, I wanted to verify that.
But there's a problem with that, so we can talk about it as we go forward.
Patrick, do you know just offhand which registry agreements that requirement's in?
I don't, but I just did a quick look, and it is in the new biz info and org agreements. The problem is, as you add new TLDs going forward, what if a new TLD that's added, that string has already been taken in the existing TLDs?
Yeah, and I think those kind of things are grandfathered. At least that's been the historical way it's handled, because obviously in COM we've had quite a few of those things. And
yeah.
Although, Chuck, let me ask you a question. They were grandfathered, but if a person decided to let that registration lapse, that grandfather provision would then end and would then go onto a reserve list.
I think that's the correct conclusion, Mike. In fact, what we had to do for COM and NET and previously for ORG was to actually set up a procedure in customer service that if those names were ever deleted, to make sure that they weren't re-registered. That was somewhat of a challenge because of all the automated processes, Now, that doesn't prevent things like transfers and things like that, though.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, as long as you have a valid registration, it can be renewed, transferred, and stuff like that. Okay.
Now, there are cases, in the IDN world, where there have been cases where we actually had to go back and take a registration away, but not with reserve names as such, like we're talking about in this group. Okay. So it looks like it's MOBI, Info, Oregon Biz all have that clause, Patrick?
That's correct.
Okay. Do you know whether any other agreements do?
I'd have to look.
Yeah, me too. I've looked at so many things so far. I'll qualify. Before I send this out, I won't necessarily try and look at all the agreements because I think it's more important that I get you a revision that at least has the clause. I will certainly add the fact that Info, Org, and Biz have it as well. So I'm guessing probably it's in all of the new ones. That would be my guess.
Yeah, the language is slightly different in the .tel and .travel agreements.
Is it? Okay. All right, so this will get a little bit more complicated, but at least you'll know the general thrust here. I suspect, other than the general question that Marilyn just referred to again, the detailed contract language may be less of a concern, but the general approach of reserving these kind of names will be one that we'll talk about. Well, we've gone an hour and almost 40 minutes. I think rather than going through this list now, because of the time and because of some of the changes that we're talking about, that the best approach would be to have as an agenda item next time to go through this comparison. And I think what I'll do, Patrick, could I get you to let me know which agreements this latest thing is in, and if you can just point me to the ones where it varies a little bit, like you just did TEL and travel, then I won't send this version 2 out until I update the correct information there. And could you also, because it's not posted yet, could you also get me the correct language for the changes that were approved by the board in the for .name for two-character second-level names? I don't know if that's possible. It's not posted yet. I comment on that in my summary, if you look at it. It would be good to have that in here, too, so that people have everything right in front of them.
Why don't I follow up with you offline about that?
Oh, that would be fine. Not a problem. Any other questions or comments? Okay. Then action items for the next call. Please submit an interest statement. each of us have that responsibility. If you need to review the registry agreements directly, feel free to do that. The URL was provided where you can find all of those, and the agenda here shows you the where they're located. The outline does, excuse me. The outline showed you where they're which attachment or appendix it is for each TLD. And of course, review, and I'll try and give some lead time before next Thursday with regard to the second revision of the comparison document. Don't wait to review the one I sent today, though. Feel free to go through it, because what I am doing on the second version, everything that changes will be in a new color. It'll be orange, depending, I guess, on how you have your color set. So you'll be easily able to pick up the second version and see what the changes were. A review relevant RFCs, and I think Liz is going to get us a little more information on the basis of those three RFCs. For those of you that haven't read an RFC, it's quite likely you may not end up reading them word for word, but hopefully Liz can give us some guidance so that you can at least skim them and read in more detail the portions that are particularly relevant. And then be thinking about our work plan going forward, so that next week we can actually hopefully develop one, and feel free to send suggestions in that regard to the list for discussion. We will be using the list for back and forth between meetings, and hopefully we can get quite a bit accomplished there. I have some action items. I'm supposed to send the contact list out, not on the list, but and then I will reach out to Krista Spain at CCNSO. Reach out to Ram Mohan, and I will send version 2 of the comparison once I update a little more information there. Any other action items anybody's aware of? Our next call will be next Thursday, an hour earlier, and that one will not go more than an hour because there will be a council meeting following it, so you only need to block off an hour next week. And we will continue the pattern of that same time every Thursday. And then on the next council meeting will be March 1st. So barring no other meetings that interfere, we'll be able to have more than an hour meeting in those other times.
Chuck, I'm not sure Glenn is still on, but are we going to try to arrange to use the same bridge?
I think a Glenn decision. I don't know.
Chuck, it's Liz here. It's usually what happens, yes.
Yeah.
The numbers usually stay the same, but the passcodes change.
Is it? So the bridge stays the same, the passcode changes.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes,
okay.
depending on how Glenn usually does it.
Glenn
but he sends
will
out reminding.
Communicate to each of us individually, not on the list, so that we have the new passcode. So that's helpful information. Thanks. Anything else? Okay. Thanks.
Thanks, Chuck. Bye.
Talk to you next week. Bye.